Welcome to episode 409 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Sermon on the Mount, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, includes some of the most well-known teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to replace the law, but to fulfill it. Our Savior spoke in a way that all could understand. But in this sermon, he pulled his disciples closer. Every word was intentional and full of wisdom to live by, not just rules to religiously follow. Last week, we explored 15 passages from Matthew 5, the first part of this important sermon. Today, we explore 11 passages from Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What are your motives for doing good? Are you craving attention, recognition, love? We should do good works because that is what we are to do as Christians, not for the sake of the impression it will make on others. This does not contradict Jesus' previous command in Matthew 5, verse 16, to let your light so shine before men. Although Christians are to be seen doing good works, they must not do good works simply to be seen. And any good work should point the observer back to the Father and not to the doer of those works. Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus does not prohibit public prayer, but our prayers should always be directed to God and not towards man. Prayer ought to be an intimate conversation with God and not an opportunity for us to show off our eloquence or our spirituality to others. Matthew 6, verses 7 to 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Charles Spurgeon once wrote that Christians' prayers are measured by weight and not by length. Many of the most prevailing prayers have been as short as they were strong. But note what Jesus says. God knows what we need before we ask him. We don't pray to tell God things he didn't know before we told him. To commune with and appeal to a loving God who wants us to bring every need and worry before his throne. Matthew 6 verses 9 to 13. In this manner therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is not the only prayer we should pray. This is not the only content about which we should pray. But it is the model for how we should pray. The right kind of prayer praises God and credits to him the kingdom and the power and the glory. There is some dispute as to whether this doxology is in the original manuscript Matthew wrote or was added in later by a scribe. Most biblical scholars believe this line was a later addition. As such, versions like the NIV, ESV, NLT, Amplified, and Contemporary do not even include it. But it does reflect an ancient Jewish acknowledgement. The kingdom belongs to the Father, and we do well to recognize that. In all that we do, we should bring honor to the Father. Matthew 6, verses 14 to 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Why should we expect forgiveness if we are not willing to forgive? Forgiveness is required for those who have been forgiven. We are not given the luxury of holding on to our bitterness towards other people. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. To lay up for yourselves treasure on earth is also to doom yourself to a life of frustration and emptiness. Regarding material things, the secret to happiness is not more, it is contentment. Regardless of how much people have, they are seldom satisfied. This is as true for those in poverty as it is for those who are billionaires. Research shows that we typically think we would have to have double our income in order to find the quote-unquote good life. But the Apostle Paul had the right idea in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus states that serving two masters is a simple impossibility. If you think that you are successfully serving two masters, you are deceived. It can't be done. As ancient Israel struggled with idolatry, they thought they could worship the Lord God and Baal. God constantly reminded them that to worship Baal was to forsake the Lord. How can we tell who or what we are serving? One way is by remembering this principle. You will sacrifice for your God. If you will sacrifice for the sake of money, but you will not sacrifice for the sake of Jesus, don't deceive yourself. Money is your God. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? We should not get tangled up worrying about the things of this world, because our life is more than those things. There is a difference between a godly sense of responsibility and an ungodly, untrusting worry. Matthew 6, verses 27 to 29. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Worry accomplishes nothing. Perhaps no sin is more self-defeating and useless. Jesus' Jewish listeners would have known well the stories of Solomon's great and extravagant wealth from Israel's glory days. Not only was Solomon clothed in the best finery in the world, his kingdom flowed with gold and silver. He lived in great luxury. Still, Jesus insists, the splendor of the flower's beauty surpasses even Solomon's, though they do nothing to put it on. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This must be the rule of our life when ordering our priorities. Yet it is wrong to think that this is just another priority fit into our list of priorities and to put at the top. Instead, in everything we do, we seek first the kingdom of God. To seek God's kingdom and his righteousness means to live in that ongoing repentance from sin and to lead the kind of sincere, from the heart, devoted to God lifestyle Jesus describes throughout the Sermon on the Mount. In response, God will make provision for whatever it is we truly need in order to accomplish his will. Matthew 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Anxiety over things we cannot control or out of our reach makes no sense. Jesus says, in short, that believers ought to let tomorrow worry about itself. Those who trust in God should not wallow in useless worry over the future. Tomorrow's fight will happen tomorrow. The battle to trust God is always happening in the current moment. Today has plenty of trouble with which we need to trust God. Jesus commands his followers to focus on trust for God in a moment-by-moment way. We shouldn't try to solve all our problems for all time, all at once. Let God provide what is needed day by day. Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom from the great Sermon on the Mount. May these words convict our hearts and transform our lives. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.